Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Just go get myself a little bit of water.
Okay.
Warming up my water.
You be okay?
Yeah, I'm warming up my water.
Still doing this warm water thing.
Yeah. And I got this the steamer in the bedroom now. Seems to be helping if you notice, I haven't been so froggy.
A humidifier.
Not a humidifier. It's just some unit that Maria's plugged in that's steaming, putting out steam all night.
Right.
Well, I don't know that. Yeah, I know those machines, but this is just like some... I don't know what she's putting in it. Drugging me. Anyhow. Yeah, so I was just out warming up a cup of water so I don't sound like a frog all
gotcha.
The time. Seems to be helping. Plus, I'm down to about 4 packs of cigarettes a day now. So I think that's good. I was at 5. I think taking it down to 4 is the way to go.
Look at you.
Yeah.
It's really cutting back. Can you imagine what you'd be spending?
Oh, I just
like a pack a day now is crazy.
I don't even know what they go for, but yeah. I remember I used to take out like $20 a day every day, and that would get me like a pack of cigarettes and lunch.
Really?
Yeah. Now probably just a pack of cigarettes and no lunch.
So you're not getting lunch out of that.
No. One of your favorite guys, Ty Burrell from Modern Family, is returning to ABC with another comedy called Forgive and Forget.
Oh, Phil Dunphy's back at it?
Yeah. Now, a completely different character, I think, this time. Ty stars as Hank, a party-type guy who receives an unexpected diagnosis and reconnects with his responsible adult sons. To make new memories, it's inspired by the experience of caring for a parent with Alzheimer's.
Hmm.
Oh, that sounds like fun comedy.
Sound quite as comedic as Modern Family, but...
He, Phil Dunphy, that character, I got a buddy who is spot on Phil Dunphy. Like, doesn't sell real estate for a living, but is spot... He's been married for almost as long as I have. And this guy will never say a bad word about marriage or his wife or his family. Everything is perfect. They're all the greatest. I remember calling him out once. I turned, like, even in front of his wife, I'm like, you know, she is human. She's got faults. We all do. You've got the job. She's not firing you. Oh, no. Just, it's so annoying. Kristen Wiig is not interested in a Bridesmaids sequel.
Okay, well then neither am I.
Right.
If she's not in it,
right.
Why would we want to watch it?
Although other cast members like Maya Rudolph and Melissa McCarthy, Melissa McCarthy in a lot of ways stole that movie with that character
True.
Of hers. They would love to do a sequel.
Yeah.
But Kristen Wiig says, no, there's
sure Rose Byrne wouldn't have a problem with it either.
No, she'd take that check.
Yeah.
She says, that story had an end, and it's so beloved to me for 10 million reasons, and I think it's okay to just have it exist in the world as it is. Now, a lot of bands will call it quits and then in no time go back on the road. Many have. I mean, going way back in time, Frank Sinatra shut her down for 2 years, said he was done.
Right.
And then came back.
Elvis, I guess you could say the comeback specials, but he never really shut it down.
No, he was just doing the movies
yeah.
that were so terrible, and then he decided he wanted to get back to performing. Leonard Skinner took a couple of years off in 2020 and said, nope, we're coming back.
Well, you understand, most of the band died.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the heart of the band.
I think that plane crash
usually puts a damper on things, but they're still going.
Now, I'll say this, if you appreciate live music... I've got about maybe 3 albums, live records that I think are the best of the best. And one of them is Leonard Skinner's One More for the Road.
Oh, really?
It's an amazing live album. The other two are Bob Seger's Live Bullet and Neil Diamond's Hot August Night.
Okay.
And I don't care who. Don't judge me.
You're not putting Guns N' Roses live in Tokyo?
That's the VHS. That's a whole other
thing.
The
Maria gift?
This is just the record. The VHS is on a category all in its own.
Okay, good to know.
No, yeah. If you want, I can lend them to you. You have a VHS machine?
I do. At the cottage, I think we might still have one.
We have one hooked up to the TV downstairs that actually still works.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not that I don't even know. I think the only thing we have on VHS now, well, I got a copy of Debbie Does Dallas. And I got a copy of Pam and Tom's. Tommy Lee's on VHS.
Only certain genres seem to stay for you in VHS.
And then the saint side of me, all the family edited down footage of the kids is on VHS. You don't want to get those mixed up.
No. Either movies of babies or making them.
Is that you and mom, Dad? I wish, son.
They won't confuse that.
No. Well, I never owned a boat. Speaking of Tommy Lee.
Yeah, the boat is the unrealistic part of that movie.
I didn't notice anything
else. Let's just go with that.
I didn't notice anything else. Speaking of Motley Crue, their final show, remember where they wrote the guarantee? They wrote a contract to their fans?
That's right.
We will never tour again?
Of course. Let's trust them.
Yeah.
They seem like trustworthy guys.
Yeah.
Said so many girls backstage.
Uh-huh. Tina Turner, now she really, her final show was in 2000. She gave it up for 8 years before she returned.
So, okay.
Thumbs up to that. Ozzy, it took him 3 years to go back. Elton, his final show, 1977. And then he shut it down for 2 years. Then he came back.
Oh my goodness.
He said he was done. Now, David Bowie used to do a great thing where every time, and I saw him at, I guess it was Sky Dome at that point, where at the end of every show, he would say, this is the last time you'll ever hear Ziggy or whatever he was finishing with.
Yeah.
So he'd always make people think he was done.
Yeah.
You know. But the worst offender of all time, Kiss, shut her down after we're done in 2001. No more. 2002, right back at it.
1 year.
I believe I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. Whoever it is in this building who takes the time to fold the end of the toilet paper into triangles when they put on new rolls in the stall in the men's bathroom, I applaud you.
Someone's doing that?
Somebody really loves their gig.
Wow.
And takes the time.
I know they do that at hotels. Like the housekeeping will do that. I guess just to show you that like they've been in there.
And right.
It wasn't someone else touching that end of the roll.
Oh, I don't get to stay at those kind of fancy places. Right. The type of places I stay at. You have to bring your own toilet paper. I remember I mentioned this to Katie one time when she was filling in, and she had the complete opposite opinion. She did not like the idea that somebody was touching
that
the toilet paper that
she
was going to use.
Gotcha. Interesting.
But I say anytime anybody does anything to step it up a little bit.
Right.
To make the presentation.
Yeah.
Here's your toilet paper.
Well, I mean, it is the first piece, the first square that's been touched. But normally people are, you know, pulling down at least a couple of feet from that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like you, I know, wrap it up like an oven mitt around your hand.
I went through a whole roll already in there.
I wouldn't doubt it.
About 12 flushes. You fly a lot. People who fly a lot, you've probably done this before. You get on a flight. No one's sitting next to you, and you silently hope it stays that way.
Great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny how judgy we get, you know, like if you're able to board first or early or whatever via priority boarding, you'll sit in your seat and you'll just, everyone that comes down that aisle, you're like, oh, not them, not them. Oh, maybe them. Oh, yeah.
Come on
them.
Yeah. Yeah. It just turns out to be the grandma with halitosis.
Right.
Anyhow, there's one airline that's adding a new seating option and others are taking a look at it. It's called the Upfront Plus. It guarantees the middle seat in your row will be empty.
Okay.
So you're going to pay extra for this, but it means that you don't have to fight over the armrest. You can spread your stuff out.
Yeah.
You can even pop up that extra tray and really set up shop, I guess.
Yeah.
You can't do it in every row. It's only an option for the first two rows, hence Upfront Plus. And
okay.
It's not clear yet how much it's going to cost, but the one airline says they're doing an introductory rate at around $50.
Done.
Yeah, 100%. First of all, why wouldn't they keep just selling that? They're losing
that
money on
no
this.
No sense. Yeah, that makes no sense at all because they could get $500 for that, whatever that seat is worth.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a lot of sense that they wouldn't sell it. also, those first couple of rows are usually a premium economy.
Right.
So the, it's a little bit wider a seat to begin with. But, you know, let's face it. If there's three of you in that row, it's going to be tight.
Listen, I'm at the point with airline travel is so expensive that I would listen. Give, I know we've had some discount airlines, but I want somebody to come up with like basically subway style. I want to just stand and hold a railing.
Ryanair tried that.
I'm fine with it.
Ryanair was going to make a section on their planes because a lot of, they're Ireland, and so a lot of them are just through the UK.
Right, puddle.
Really short hops, right?
Yeah.
And they were going to have like the back section of their plane basically be standing room.
Yeah.
You just hang on to it, off you go. And they said, you know, is it more dangerous? Well, not really in terms of.
I mean, turbulence, you might get tossed around a bit. But again, these are puddle jumpers. I don't know that you could do this from here to Germany.
No, that'd be a long haul.
That's a long stand, and your arm would go numb holding the...
$50 to make an empty seat beside you? Yeah. It's ridiculous, because it costs, I know in Air Canada, it's $50 just to pick your seat.
Yeah, to have a pee.
On some of those flights.
You want to use the bathroom, $50.
Like, if you want to pick aisle or window, it's gonna cost you, because if you go with the lowest level of booking, right. It costs you to pre-book your seat.
So it's $50 one way, so $50 coming home. Yeah. Now, this is, again, just an introduction price.
Sure.
I'm sure if this catches on soon, you'll be paying top freight.
I mean, there are some people who unfortunately have to buy that second seat.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Because of, you know, size restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus with the whole standing thing, the seats are usually so stupidly uncomfortable anyhow. I'm always looking to get up and move around.
Right.
I would take... like a pole in the ground with a bicycle seat. And I would sit on that for 6 to 8 hours.
I used to be a window person. Like sitting in the window, like seeing where we are and you can see how close you are to landing, that kind of thing, and watch it coming down. But now that I'm like flying more for business or on my own, it's aisle all the way.
Or you can stretch your leg out. That's nice.
You can put your leg out a little bit, you know, although when that cart comes through, I've had that elbow bang a few times.
Oh, have you?
It is not fun. But, one of the flights recently I was booked for the aisle, and then as he got down there, he had this couple looking all like puppy eyed at you. And I guess they were seated in separate rows and asked, you know, would you mind if we could sat together? Would you take the window? And I said, sure, whatever. It was a short flight. But man, like 20 minutes in, I started feeling claustrophobic in that seat. I'm like, you know, I don't have to go to the bathroom right now, but if I did, I'm stuck. And like, this is just annoying.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm aisle 100%. I could care. I'll see what's outside when I get on the ground. I don't need to see the buildings from 30,000 feet. I'll see them right in front of me when I'm walking across the tarmac. Friday morning, heading into the weekend. Ah, doesn't that feel good? Fridays are great. Sunday nights are a nightmare. Friday mornings are lovely, and it's the St. Paddy's Day weekend. I know that because here at the daycare center where we work, we have coworkers dressed up in green suits.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not St. Patrick's Day today.
No, but of course our daycare center will celebrate today because of course it's Sunday. So you're going to have to, if I was going to go hard on St. Paddy's Day, I would have already pre-planned and booked the Monday off.
Oh yeah.
Calling in sick. On Monday morning.
No, that's a,
after St. Paddy's Day.
Rude move.
Yeah, and they know you're lying. I mean, you can put on the best Oscar winning performance you want. Oh, I got the flu. I got the sinus infection. I got the strep throat.
Is it still a thing? Obviously, pubs, that have their regular clientele. We'll do the green pints or, you know, they'll do the shamrocks at the top of the Guinness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think I've long since passed the, much like the kind of New Year's being a rookie drinking night, St. Patrick's Day seems to be one of those as well. Amateur hour.
I think it's still very much a thing. I think was it last year that I mistakenly really turned it on hard or a couple of years ago? Might have been last year. It got ahead of me really quick. And I'm usually pretty good for that stuff because it was a Saturday last year. So yeah, I must have, That's right, because that's when we were supposed to go down to see family down near Hamilton, and we got just outside of Toronto, and I told the whole story about having to go to the Yorkdale Mall, and
right.
I was going to throw up over the elevator. And we basically stopped the car and turned around and went home just outside, around the airport, because I couldn't do it. I was dying. So, yeah, it's a Sunday this year, so I'll be up. I won't have time, what with my commitment to God on a
yes,
Sunday.
Yes, of course.
I'll be very busy with all of that I do. But yeah, I think people still like to turn it on. Bars open early and people like to get going, especially if the weather is going to be good. I'm not sure what Sunday's looking like.
It's great. Meh. Yeah. I did see yesterday, a commercial for Guinness that they've put out a 0% alcohol version of Guinness.
Oh, really?
That they were taking into Irish pubs to taste test and people couldn't tell the difference.
Now more of a reason not to drink Guinness. Now it really is just a cup of mud. I mean, I would choke one back because of the alcohol content. If there's no alcohol content, I might as well just not bother. I've never understood Guinness.
Mm.
Now look, as much as I love a pint and as much as I love to have a drink, I'm a lightweight and it's not, I'm sure Guinness is a lovely product. It's been around a long time. Millions of people love it. I'm just a lightweight. I just like a light, easy beer. I don't like anything that's too hoppy or too thick.
I'm with you personally on that too. I'm not a certainly not a beer snob, and the craft beers, I've run across a couple that I've been okay with, but for the most part, there's way too much going on in them, not just in the name,
right,
but in the beer itself for me.
Yeah.
I have certainly put back a few Guinness in my time. It's never my go-to order unless it's, you know, like a group. Everyone's getting around and having a Guinness. I'll have one. It's a slow drinker for me because, you know, how people guzzle them back, I don't know. But there's also a thing, too, I know in England that they put like a spot of Ribena in it.
What's Ribena?
Ribena is like a black currant, I guess it's a sauce that they use. You can add it to tea. You can add it to something like grenadine, right?
Okay.
So Ribena is just a black currant version of that.
All right.
And a lot of, you know, traditional pubs will have a bottle of it in behind, and you can put a little bit into your Guinness. Gives a little fruity flavor to it, which isn't bad.
See, anytime you've got to add something to it to make it taste better,
right,
just means. And plus, I like to sip my beer, or drink my beer, or guzzle my beer. I don't want a knife, fork, and spoon to get through it. And it's funny how you say you'll only have one if, you know, you're with a group of other people who are all having one. Kind of reminds me of Maria's strip club rule she always had. She always used to say, she still does, although she hasn't brought it up in a long time because I haven't had the need to go to one, or at least haven't been invited to a strip club with friends in a long time. But her rule always was she didn't care if I went to a strip club with a bunch of friends. She just didn't want me to be the one initiating it.
Leading the charge.
That's right. She would never say to me, no, you can't go, because she'd never want me to look like a whipped husband.
Right.
In front of my friends. But if she found out on a Wednesday afternoon I was rounding dudes up to go to the cannonball, there would be a problem. As we make our way into the St. Paddy's Day weekend, we want to remind people, of course, on Sunday to have fun, enjoy yourself, but no drinking and driving. And here's a good example of someone who certainly should lose their license. An older woman got pulled over recently and had alcohol in her breath, so they breathalyzed her, and she made it more complicated than necessary. The cop explained she needed to blow steadily for a few seconds, but instead she tried to suck on it like a straw. Little hammered. Just a little hammered. Unbelievable. He told her to pretend she was blowing up a balloon, and she understood that, but then she stopped early, so they had to do it again.
Right.
She eventually blew four times over the legal limits.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are you? I noticed yesterday on social media, there was a bit of a debate going on because people were posting, or police had posted a picture I think it was like the QEW or 403 or something like that. It was just like they had a speed trap, basically.
All right.
And they just posted a picture of them on an overpass.
Oh, okay.
To which people were commenting, where is this? Where is this? They wanted to know.
Sure, so they'd slow down.
So they could slow down. And others were commenting on where it was and then posting it on Waze. Mm. And you do see now, I see when I've mapped directions on my phone, that it says speed check ahead.
I get that on my phone.
And so that happens when other people pass it and they input the information into their phone.
I think Waze has offered that for
Waze
a while,
has offered
right?
that, yeah. So they share basically where speed traps are.
Mm-hmm.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Now,
I'm fine
when it comes to a ride spot check.
I don't know.
Should we be posting all police activity as to where it is? I get it with the speed traps. And in fact, even in community safety zones where they have the radar, there is a sign that says that there's radar ahead. That's a city posted sign. So, you know, it's a chance to remind people slow down in that area.
Yeah. I know that forever people would do the flashing of the high beams to let you know there was a speed trap up ahead. And now with technology, it's all on the phones. I would suggest letting people know there is a speed trap up ahead, or cops are doing radar. I would be fine with knowing that in advance, because I, like almost everybody else, speed.
Right.
I don't drive drunk, so I would suggest that letting drunks who are driving know that there's
a spot check, a ride check
ahead. I would think that that's probably the wrong thing to do.
Right.
I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, we need those people off the road, right? So you're not doing anybody any favors by letting people know there's a spot check.
Well, I guess only a drunk.
Yeah, and we want him off the road, so let the cops get him. The other thing, too, is I think with spot checks and when they happen, although I have gone through a couple of times, I've gone through spot checks at like 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Just like odd random ones, yep. Right?
I've seen that happen.
Normally they're in the evenings and all of that. And so I would think that people who have had too much to drink and are getting in their car, chances are they're not very obvious to their phone and warnings of things anyhow.
True.
So they're probably still going to get, I've always thought the spot checks are too lit up. You can see them from too far away.
Right.
I swear you can see them from blocks away. So you just make a right or a left somewhere to avoid it.
I thought they had kind of runners that would look for that too at one point.
Oh, really?
They were looking for cars that were peeling off.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously they look for long stretches of road where they can catch it. And I've seen them down in dips.
Yeah.
Like where bridges are and that sort of thing, trying to catch people.
Yeah. I mean, I've also seen them up ahead, and you're not sure whether it's an accident or not. You just don't want to be a part of it, right?
Yeah.
So you make a quick right or left. The other thing, too, is really, honestly, there's so few excuses. I get it at one time. Well, how am I going to get home if I don't drive? There's so many options now.
Oh, for sure.
So many options that, you know, certainly come St. Paddy's Day, you're going to probably see like Uber and the others surge pricing. But I'd still rather pay an extra few bucks for an Uber home than the cost of my insurance going up and the fines and the... Plus, there's that one commercial we run where the guy's calling from the cop station to his wife to say, come and pick me up.
Oh, man.
I've been arrested for drunk driving. I just stay in prison. I would never go home. I'd have her file a missing persons report before I ever admitted or made that call. George Harrison decided to write a song in 1968 based on the first words he saw when he opened a random book on his parents' bookshelf. The words he saw were, "Gently weeps."
Huh?
So he wrote, "While my guitar gently weeps."
Interesting.
And made a few bucks off of that.
Couple.
Yeah. The New York Yankees have had a winning record for 31 straight seasons starting in 1993. That's the third longest streak in the four major sports. The Yankees also hold the all-time record with 39 consecutive winning seasons from 1926 to 1964. The Montreal Canadiens had 32 winning seasons from the 1950s into the 80s. So the Yankees can tie that mark this year.
Oh.
Yeah. We shall see.
I'm sure they'll spend to get it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sports, That Austin Matthews, I think they should have traded him on trade deadline day because he's peaking. It's all downhill from here. My hockey expertise says that I would have traded him.
Right, yes.
Get the most for him now because he's going downhill.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still in that hockey pool?
I am. My son runs it.
Oh, okay.
I just throw in the money.
You're just the Harold Ballard of the situation?
I am exactly Harold Ballard. You got that right.
In so many ways.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sit on your couch in your bunker.
Yeah.
Controlling the heat. And
my kids will happily dig my grave as well. When that day comes. I don't attend meetings. I'm a terrific owner. I don't even know who we have as a, I just wait to see if we win or not. David claims we're building a franchise. We're building a
dynasty.
A dynasty. Of course, I've been in this thing since about 1996 and I've been saying I've been building a dynasty since then.
So. Right.
Anyhow, yeah. The phrase throw me under the bus has only been around for a few decades. The first time someone used it was to describe sacrificing someone for selfish reasons, and it was in an article in the Times of London in 1982.
Okay.
Yeah. Throw me under, or throw them. Isn't it, you should throw them under the bus. I'll throw you under the bus.
Yeah.
Or I guess I would say
you threw me under the bus.
Which you have done many times to me. That's right. That's right.
Well, you step out into traffic. What do you want me to do?
Emma Thompson is the only person. You could grab my arm and pull me back.
I could.
Yeah.
That's heavy. That seems like a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. Emma Thompson is the only person who's won an Oscar for both acting and writing. She won Best Actress for Howard's End and Best Adapted Screenplay for Sense and Sensibility.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good one for you. What is a hole-in-one on a par 5 called?
Hole-in-one on a par... Albatross.
Condor.
A condor?
Yeah.
Hole-in-one on a par 5. Okay.
Now, like, it's pretty rare that anybody would get a hole-in-one on a par 5.
Yeah, you would think so. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Albatross is in 2 on a par 5.
Mm-hmm.
Hole-in-one on a par 5. That, there would be some cart paths involved.
Sure.
A couple of lucky bounces.
Yeah. Yeah.
A condor.
Because what does, what's the yardage? What does a... On a par 5, what does the yardage need to be? Like over 400 or
There's
something?
There's no set number necessarily, but yardages are determined by how many strokes it should take you to get to the green.
Okay.
And then 2 putts.
Oh, is that how
so
it's done?
So that's how par is accomplished. So a par 3, you should be able to reach the green in 1 stroke and then get 2 putts.
Okay, very good. It's considered the hardest thing to do in golf, and there's never been one on the pro tour.
Right.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin. Happy Gilmore came close.
Marcus Pearson, the man who created Minecraft, didn't graduate high school. Instead, he spent most of his time learning programming online.
Yeah.
Now he's a member of the Swedish chapter of Mensa.
Wow.
Yeah, don't tell your boys about that.
Well, it's funny because there was a time when we were looking for summer camps and you're always trying to put kids into something. And they had like coding camps and some e-gaming type things. And I was trying to put them in and they didn't want to go. But listen, if you're going to take an interest in it to that level, there are careers and many, many jobs in that industry.
A lot of good ones. Sir Mix-a-Lot was inspired to write Baby Got Back when he saw skinny women with small butts in a Bud Light commercial featuring the party dog Spuds McKenzie. He said it was meant to be an anti-establishment fight song for women.
Gotcha.
And, quote, guys like me, he never thought it would be popular.
Like big butts, we cannot lie.
That's right. The Terminator is the only character that made AFI's list of the 50 best heroes in movie history and the 50 best villains. So both lists. And the term blockbuster comes from the first blockbuster movie, which was Jaws. It's because when Jaws was released, people were lining up around the block. So they busted the block.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.